Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. We thank God this morning for allowing us another opportunity, another chance to be alive in the land of the living. And we thank Him for giving us also an opportunity to come to Him and just to call unto Him right here today, Friday, the 17th of April 2020. It is the first Friday after Good Friday, and we know it is a Good Friday also. Every Friday is a Good Friday. So we thank God right here at Prayer, Praise, and Deliverance Ministries, this circle of friends, for the opportunity to be here. So we're going to start by prayer, and then we get into the word, and then we continue with whatever the Lord has installed for us today. So let us pray. Good morning to you, Holy Spirit. Good morning to you, Father God. Good morning to you, Lord Jesus, God, three in one, the one who was, the one who is, and also is to come, our everlasting Father, our heavenly Father, the creator of heaven and earth. We thank you for waking us up this morning in this day, the day that you have made, and the day that no one else knows what today holds but you. And we are ready, Father, we are ready to receive all the blessings you have installed for us today. And we are ready, Father God, to do what you want us to do today, to be used by you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for in you, Lord, we live and move and have our being. Without you, Father, we can do nothing. In the mighty name of Jesus. So we pray this morning, Father God, and say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will, Father God, be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, Father, our daily bread, for you are our provider, Lord. You provide for us. You are Jehovah Jireh, the God, our provider. So we pray, Father, for you to give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, Lord. Forgive us our sins, those sins we have committed, Lord, knowingly or unknowingly. We pray, Father God, the sins we have committed by submission or by omission, and or by any other missions, Lord, we pray that you forgive us, Father, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do not want anything to hinder our prayers. We do not want anything to hinder our praises to you. We do not want anything to hinder, to interrupt, interfere with our relationship with you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray, Father, that you lead us not into temptation, Father, but deliver us from all evil, Lord. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 I just thank God this morning. And our God is a good God. He is a merciful God. He is a compassionate God. He is a loving God. He is a kind God. He is just a good God. And he is on our side. For if God is on our side, who can be against us? Who can fight us and win? If God is on our side, we are more than conquerors. We are winners. We are number one because we are on a winning side, because we are victorious. Amen. In Jesus' name. So this morning, I'll say good morning to you again this morning. Everybody, we're going to start with the word of God. And I just thank God it has been a really beautiful week, a wonderful week with my pastor and my church family. We started Holy Communion last Friday, which was the Good Friday. Every night by 8 o'clock, we'll have a phone call, prayer, and Holy Communion. And we did it for 7 days straight. So last Friday today, I think we started on a Thursday. Yeah, we started last Thursday. So we have been doing it continuously. Yesterday was our 7th day of Holy Communion. And I just thank God. My children, they did participate a couple of times, not every time because they are in and out or whatever they are doing. But I just thank God and that my grandson also participated in Holy Communion and he got curious. And I just thank God that he asked it, you know, he gave me an opportunity to teach him and explain to him what the Word of God say and why we do Holy Communion. So I just want to encourage you, this time of quarantine or the social distancing, whatever we call it. I think it's a time also, whether you are by yourself or with your family, just take a day and have Holy Communion, you know, with your family and just share with them, you know, the Word of God and have communion. Because the Word of God says we have to do this not only during the Passover, but we have to do this at all times in the remembrance of Him. So I thought I would just throw that out there. If anyone is interested, you can do that with your family. In Jesus' name, amen. So our scripture of the week is in the book of Hosea. I just thank God this week that God gave us a privilege and an opportunity. It was a rich week, a rich word of God. And we had time, you know, to just feast on his word as we were taught about the book of Hosea, prophet Hosea, and in all what he went through. And just that he was obedient, and it has been a really fruitful, rich week with the Word of God. So we want to continue, feeding ourselves. I do believe that this time of social distancing or whatever you might want to call it, what is going on, I think it is time for us as a body of Christ, as believers, to really dig into the Word of God, be prayerful, and just to fill ourselves with the Word of God, because when the gates are opened, when this dust settles, we will be busy. There are so many people out there who will need to hear the Word of God. And I think that I do believe that the harvest is ready. People are ready. The Holy Spirit and, you know, God is drawing people. He's preparing their hearts. But we need to be ready also to win souls. They will be ready for us to witness and share with them, and people are ready to receive. So we gotta be ready, you know, we gotta be ready for harvest, you know, get our sickles ready, get our jars, our sacks, whatever equipment we need as harvesters to be ready. And we know there is no any other equipment than the Word of God for us to win the souls. We don't have to be opening the Bible and walking around carrying this huge Bible and, you know, trying to beat people over the head with it, but it is going to be drawn from within. The Holy Spirit is going to, you know, bring it to our remembrance and up to surface, whatever, and it will be a custom tailored word. It's not what you share with someone yesterday, you're going to use it tomorrow. They will not be a recycling of word, but it will be fresh Rhema word tailored to the person who is right in front of you at the time to witness to them and share the word of God. Amen. So Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 is our scripture of the week. I will read it, and then I will share with you a few more scriptures and, you know, the word of God. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. So the bottom line is we have been also encouraged. I mean, this week, if you have missed any of the days this week, I would encourage you to, you know, do everything you can and make some time and listen in. It has been a rich, encouraging word, and we were acquiring knowledge because the word of God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He did not say that we get destroyed because we are not congregating. He didn't say we will get destroyed because we, you know, whatever other reasons you might think of, you can fill in the blank. But we are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we need the knowledge. And as I was pondering, you know, going through reading the book of Hosea and, you know, anchoring myself on this scripture, and the other day, the Holy Spirit just was ministering to me, and I am going to share with you a few things the Holy Spirit was ministering to me. I will, if I am to give a title, say, who are you? You know, who are you? Do you know yourself or know yourself? So it takes really some knowing. It takes knowing and understanding who our God is, his ability, what his word says about him, and what his word says about you and I. As prophet Hosea is bringing it to our attention, you know, this scripture is just a wake-up call, a reminder for us so that we can address where we are and gauge ourselves, gauge our faith, our love, and our obedience to our God, our Almighty God. I do understand myself that when we talk about knowledge and lack thereof, you know, this particular scripture, Hosea 4:6, it does cover a lot of areas or lots of subjects or topics in our lives. But for me today, I just want to discuss or to draw your attention or our attention to one of these subjects that, as I said, if I am going to give a title, I will say, who are you? Or know yourself. By talking, brought me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, actually, that's where I spent most of my time. After I read the book of Hosea, I went to back to Exodus, and I did. As I got on Exodus chapter 3, I spent a lot of time on that chapter. It just in brief, you know, the book of Exodus or chapter 3, it has a familiar story. Most of us, we are familiar with the story of Moses and the burning bush. So also here in this chapter, Exodus chapter 3, as I said, Exodus chapter 3, here we also find a very important biblical principle at work. Thank you, Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask the Lord, help me to share the word as you give it to me, and help me, Father, to be still and allow you to get this word out as you have given it to me, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. There is a very important biblical principle, you know, when you read the story of Moses and the burning bush. And I would like to refer to this as I am, because our God, He is. He is I am. He is the principle. In this chapter, we know that God miraculously appeared to Moses at the burning bush. And the burning bush, God calls Moses. Now, as a simple shepherd, Moses, we know he was, you know, his lifestyle, how he grew up, his mother put him in the basket, and you know, later on, he grew up in Pharaoh's house or in Pharaoh's palace, and how he ran away and became a shepherd. Then later on, that's when he met with the Lord on this burning bush. So he was just a simple shepherd, you know, and whom God called to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt. Right here, it is another teaching by itself that our God is not a respecter of any person. What He does for one, He will do for the other. And He just needs our availability. You just have to be available and He can use you. So that's another thing we can, or another entity we can learn or draw from Moses' life, that he was just a mere shepherd and just a simple shepherd, but God called him to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt. So God says to Moses, I have seen the oppression of my people. I have heard their cries. And I have chosen you, Moses, to deliver my people. And that is in Exodus chapter 3, and that's verse 7. So I'm going to go back and forth, but all my content will be coming from the book of Exodus. So I would encourage you to add that on your reading list and read the book of Exodus. It is also here in the book of Exodus, or at this time, that a significant problem also arises. So God said to Moses, I have seen the oppression of my people, and I have heard their cries, and I have chosen you, Moses, to deliver my people. And now they become a problem. And the problem was that Moses was having we could say it is an identity crisis, because in his response to this miraculous encounter, to this situation, what God has said to him, Moses' response to God was, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So right there, Moses is saying to God, well, whom am I? You know, why are you, you know, like, really? Whom am I that I should go to Pharaoh? I bet in he, on the back of his head or in his mind, he was thinking how he left Egypt. We all know the story how Moses left Egypt after he killed one of the Egyptians. And then one of his people now, the following day when he saw them fighting and he was trying to stop them and, you know, to console them and say, you know, you shouldn't fight against each other. But one person, one of those people, you know, told on him and say, oh, you want to kill me like you did to that Egyptian? And he had to run. So now Moses, as soon as God addressed him and said, you know, I heard the cry of my people. I heard their prayers. And I would like you to go and deliver my people from Egypt, from this slavery, from this bondage they are in. And the first thing that came out of Moses' mouth was, who am I that I should go to this Pharaoh? And that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. So right here on verse 18, Moses is making excuses. He didn't even give God a chance to explain. Maybe God had more information he was to give him. But he started just by making these excuses. How many of us who make excuses when God asks us to do something? Sometimes we say, oh, look, it's my mind again wandering around. No, you know, sometimes God will put something on your heart to do, whether it's to pray for someone, to reach out to someone, or to do something. And we just disgrade ourselves, disqualify ourselves, and say we can't do this, and start making excuses why we shouldn't do what God has said. So on verse 18, Moses making excuses and say, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Excuses, excuses, excuses. And we, when this all dust settles and things get still, we cannot make any excuses. We need to go out there and win souls. And as we continue, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they will say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? This is Moses. He's continuing talking to, questioning God, you know, why he is asking him to go and redeem the children of Israel. And he said, okay, so if I do go and I come to the children of Israel and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and these children of Israel, these people you want me to go and deliver, they will ask me, and they will say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And right there, before I continue, let me just throw this in. As we go out and we share with people and share the word of God with them, people will ask us questions, and people, you know, and sometimes you may wonder and say, okay, maybe they will ask me hard questions. How am I going to answer them? What will I say? And I would like to encourage you, this is the time for us to equip ourselves, to gather knowledge, to read the word, be prayerful. And once we do that, the Holy Spirit will bring into remembrance. He will give us what to say. We don't have to carry a big notebook or a pocket notebook that if a person asks a question, we'll have keywords or we'll have a glossary and we will look it up. No, it will come from within. That's why we always encourage each other, especially here at this prayer line. We encourage each other to continue feeding ourselves with the Word of God. What I have found out with our God, you know, He is so good, and He brings it into remembrance. He brings His Word into remembrance. Whenever we need it, so many times, countless times in my life, when I am having a conversation or I'm talking to someone and I just start saying things, and sometimes God will bring a scripture. I might not know the chapter and the verse, but He gives me the contents of the scripture, and I just paraphrase it or whatever, and I say something. And, you know, sometimes I shock myself. Sometimes someone will ask me, they say, how did you know that? How did you do this? And it's just the Holy Spirit. All we need to do is to prepare ourselves and read the Word of God and be prayerful. When the need arrives, the Holy Spirit will draw it and bring it into our remembrance, and we will use it. So let us not worry about what will we say. All we need to do is to equip ourselves, read the Word of God, be prayerful, be clean, be obedient, and we will be fit for the Master's use. So right here, we were on verse 13, where Moses was questioning God and saying, okay, so when they ask me, what shall I say to them? So right here, Moses, just like all of us, and, you know, you and I, and I'm going to use a lot of I or you and whatever. I am not trying to point a finger to anyone. It will be all of us. When I say I, when I say you, it means all of us, you and I, or the body of Christ. So I might use them, you know, interchangeable so many times. So like Moses, you know, Moses, just like you and I or us often do, you know, question ourselves and, you know, doubt. You know, sometimes doubt will come. But right here, God responded to Moses. We are now on verse 14, to which God said to him, I am who I am. King James says, I am that I am. That's how God responded to Moses on verse 14. And yes, indeed, He is our God. He is. I am. He is. I am who I am. And He said, I'm still on verse 14. And He said, thus, you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So in short, right here, God was saying to Moses, it does not matter who you are. It matters who I am. So right here, you don't have to worry about who you are. It really doesn't matter, but it matters who I am. That's what God is saying to Moses, that it does not matter who you are, but it matters who I am. This is very powerful, you know, in understanding our place in the kingdom of God, in the things of God. We as believers, as Christians, need to have the knowledge and the understanding when we say, oh, who our God is, the God of Israel, I am, is his name. May the Almighty God help us with some knowledge and understanding today and forevermore when we, you know, read his word and understand this great I am, that he is here for us. And we also have to have the understanding that there is nothing that can come against us. You know, it just reminds me of the scripture, what Paul said in Romans, in the book of Romans. I believe it's chapter 8, verse 13, where he said, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So if we have that understanding and know that our God is I am, he is I am who he says I am, he is, and who I am in Exodus, it says, I am who I am. And then Paul reminds us that what then, if we have this great I am in us, on our side, so what then shall we say to these things, whatever these things are, sickness and disease, relationships, financial, you know, whatever it is, and we will say to these things, if God is for us, who can be against us? Opposition, trials, accusations. I do believe when Paul was reminding us, you know, he based it not on his own understanding, but on the knowledge of who his God is. He had an understanding of whom he saved, not on the level of his ability or what he can do, how much equipped, how much knowledgeable he was or he is as a follower of Christ. And the same with us. It has nothing to do with our abilities, but it has all to do with whom we serve, who this God is, whom we serve. And once we have that understanding and knowledge that we serve a mighty God, the one, the great I am, the one who is able, then we do not rate our, you know, we don't rate situations by our abilities, but we rate it by his abilities, what kind of a God we serve, who he is. And once we know it and have that understanding, then we just flow with, but just be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. So let's continue back in Exodus. So as I said, you know, what Paul said in Romans 18 is these are the words of a man or a person who understands his place and who understands what kind of a God he serves. This great I am. And also Paul added, and he said in Romans, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's still in Romans. I am on verse 37 through 39. So Paul knew that he was nothing without the great I am. So this morning, I just want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, that we are nothing without our Almighty God, the great I am. This God who is the creator of heaven and earth, he is the Lord of all, our Savior, our Deliverer, the one who sets us free. He is our rock, our shield, our good shepherd. The list goes on and on and on. The great I am. Because our identity really does not rest in the external power and position that we have gained here on earth. It has nothing to do with how far you have gone with your education. I'm not belittling education. I do love education. But that's not what defines our spirituality. It has nothing to do with how much money you make. Yes, we do need money. Even for the furtherance of the gospel, we need finances. But that's not what our identity rests on. Because if we have this understanding of who our God is, who our Savior is, we will also have an understanding that he owns the whole world. Silver and gold belongs to him. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs to him. So when we serve him, we are his children. I mean, I was, you know, watching my grandson last night, sitting there in his mother's lap, and I was watching him, and I saw how relaxed he was. And people are talking about it. And he had like a carefree life, you know. And he doesn't even worry about what he is going to wear. He doesn't even worry about what he's going to eat, where he's going to sleep. He doesn't even worry about anything. He totally, totally rely on his mother to take care of him. If the mother chooses to just let him, you know, now he's beginning to roll around and crawl. I was just laughing because she was changing his diaper and he was on the floor, and she turned around to pick some Vaseline or wipes or something, and the little, you know, boy was gone without his diaper on. And that's how comfortable and relaxed he was. He really didn't care if she was going to let him go or spend the whole day like that. He was not going to worry. That's how much we need to rely on our Father, our Heavenly Father, to just rest in him, to totally trust in him, that he is our God, that he is our Father, and he cares for us. And that he will lead us and direct us that all these other things we worry about, this fashion, this pair of shoes, this pair of this car, this house, whatever, you know, the worldly people rate us with or use as their gauge to see our humanity. That's not what counts, but our identity rests in our Heavenly Father, in our God. It does not rest on either the denomination or the church we congregate at, you know, the name of the bishop we are under or the pastor, you know, leadership we are under. No, you know, it doesn't matter whether we go to a mega church, we go to a smaller church or whatever. That's not where it is. It rests, our identity rests in the internal power that exists within us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the great I am, our relationship with him. Then all these other things, they are just a cherry on the cake. That is just toppings, add-ins. But the bottom line is our relationship within our Lord Jesus Christ. What happens when the crowds are not there? Like right now, we are having this social distancing. Now we are confined in these houses. We are just at home. What is it we are doing in those homes, indoors, when nobody else is watching? That's what defines us. There are a lot and host of benefits, you know, tremendous external security. There is a lot when you understand who God is, when you acquire this knowledge and have the word of God and understand who this great I am is, there are benefits in knowing who our God. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." So all things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. That's what happens when we understand who our God is, that he is I am, the great I am, the everlasting God. So who are you? Who are we? We need to know ourselves. The only way we can identify ourselves and know who we are is to understand who our God is. And when we know that we have the great I am, then we know who he is. And I'm going to run through a few scriptures just pointing us. There are so many of them. I just picked a few. What Jesus said, like in the book of John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." And on John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am," this is the great I am, just who he is, what the word of God says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." That's our God. He is the light of the world. And as we follow him, we do not walk in darkness, but we will have the light of life. John 8:23. This one I'm going to paraphrase. "I am from above, and I am not this world." just paraphrasing this one. In John 8:58. So the book of John, especially chapter 8, if you read it, it will show you and give you an understanding who Jesus is and who our God is, the great I am. John 8:58. John chapter 8, verse 58. Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Before our spiritual father, you know, our father of faith, Abraham, the one who God called and said, get out of your country, get out of your father's house, out of your people, out of everything you know, out of this familiar area you know, out of all these things you so like or love, and go to a country, to a land that I will show you. Abraham obeyed, not even knowing where he was going, even know the name of the place where he was going, but he obeyed God, and he went anyway. And Jesus is saying, before this Abraham was, I am. Our God was already there. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He is our maker. And John 10, verse 9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. This is a different version. So our God is the door. Jesus is the door. And whoever, this is the gospel, this is the good news. So the people we are going to encounter, the people we will be witnessing to, they will ask, we will be telling them who this Jesus is, that he is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is above the whole world. I am. He was there before Abraham. And he is the door. And if you enter, if anyone enters, yesterday we were encouraged about salvation, to be saved. And people out there, some of them, because they don't have the knowledge, they don't know. They are doing what they are doing because they don't know. But we're going to go out there and share with them, so that they will acquire the same knowledge. They will have the same knowledge we have, that our Jesus, he is the door. And if anyone enters by him, he will be saved and have eternal life. John 10, verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd, who gives life for the sheep. He is the good shepherd, the one who laid down his life for his sheep. That's how much he loves us. There is a story where in the New Testament about this shepherd explaining what kind of a shepherd, and said, if this man, this shepherd, had 100 sheep, but he lost one, he had to put this 99 on the side and go for that one and looked for it. After he found it, he brought it back to his 99, and they became 100 again. That's how much he cares for us. If only one sheep goes astray, only one sheep gets lost, he has that much care, that he doesn't feel like 99 is enough. He still cares for that one that is lost. And he will go and look for it, rescue it, save it, bring it back. That's how much. So we will share with the world that our God, the great I am, he is a good shepherd, the one who lays down his life. He gives his life for his sheep. In John 11, verse 25, It says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. So who he believes in me will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, our God, the great I am, is the resurrection and the life. And if you believe in him, that's what we would tell the world. That if you believe in this Jesus, you will not perish, but you will have eternal life. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, except by me. John 14, verse 6. That's what we will tell the world as we go out there, that this Jesus, the great I am, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. You cannot go to the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In Revelation, there is a host of them explaining who Jesus is. But I just went in the book of John. You can go in other books. They explain who Jesus is. But I want to give you one more in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty God. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Everything in between, that's who our God is. He's the beginning, he's the end, he's the Alpha, he's the Omega. That's who our God is. And because he is all this and much, much more, then we, I, you and I, I'm just going to use I, meaning you, meaning I, meaning us. I am fed by the bread of life. I am led by the light of the world. I am waiting for my mansion, which is not in this world or on this world, of this world. I am guided by the good shepherd. He leads and guides me and cares for me, this good shepherd. I am going to receive a new body at the resurrection because he is the resurrection and the life. So I'm going to receive that. And I'm following the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not following the blind, but I am following the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm more than a conqueror. There are conquerors here. There are overcomers. But I am more than them. I surpass them because of who the great I am, who is in me, whom I follow, whom I serve. And I am saved by the blood of Jesus. Just this weekend, we were celebrating Easter, remembering the life of our Lord, the crucifixion, the death, when he was crucified, died and buried, and he rose again on the third day. They went and they looked for him in the tomb, and he wasn't there. The grave was empty. And because he is alive, because he shed that blood, today I am here, saving him. Receiving and walking by faith and not by sight, and waiting for his return. That's who I am. That's our Almighty God. And as Hosea has reminded us, that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need the knowledge, the understanding of who our God is, who our Savior is, whom we serve, the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. We trust him. We depend on him. For some trust in chariots, some in horses, some in their education, some in their associates. Some even trust in the neighborhoods they live. But we remember the Lord our God. We trust our God. He is our strong tower. And when we run to Him, we are safe. The great I am. I am who I am. Is the one we trust. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, the great I am, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who was, who is, and is to come. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and that your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that you have sent it for. Thank you, Father God, that you are our Savior. You are the great I am. Yes, you are the way, the truth, and the life, the good shepherd, the one who laid down his life for his people. We honor you this morning, Father. We glorify you. I thank you, Father, for your children, these intercessors, the prayer warriors, your people. I know, Father, you own the whole world. And there are a lot of them, different groups, different prayer lines, whatever. But this morning, Father, right here at the prayer, at this prayer, praise, and deliverance ministry, this circle of friends, these ones right here, I make a special prayer, Father, that you bless them. You hear their prayers, answer their prayers, do good to them, Father. As they do your word, as they intercede and stand on the gap, interceding and praying and crying out on behalf of others, on behalf of nations, and our nation right here, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, that those requests, those prayer needs, burdens they have on their hearts, I pray, Father God, that you carry those burdens for us, Father. Make all the crooked ways straight for us, Lord. Smoothen all the rough places for us, Father. For we serve you, the great I am, the one who gives peace. You are our God, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, the one who says, peace I live with you. Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, because the world has conditions. Their peace is conditional, but not yours. You don't give as the world gives. Yours is unconditional, Lord. The peace that surpasses all understanding. And our hearts are not troubled, Lord, and we are not afraid, for we know you are with us, for you give us your peace, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for our families, Lord, our loved ones, that you protect and shield them on our behalf, Lord. You care for them for us, Father. The marriages, relationships, families, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Even in this time, some families, instead of getting together, there's a lot of quarreling and fighting and arguing. But I pray, Father God, that you do good to us, Lord, that we exhibit the great I am who is in us. Be able to serve and minister to our families. In the mighty name of Jesus, rekindle the relationships in marriages, parents with their children, children with their parents. husbands and wives, rekindle in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray, Father God, we continue to pray for our president and all those in position of leadership here in our country, Father, nationally and also international, because of this wave, this disorder, this chaos that seemed to be like a slow wind that is just keep going. But we do know that every season will come to an end. We do know that every wind, every storm will come to an end. So we thank you, Father God, that you give them wisdom, that they make decisions, sound decisions, good decisions, that they will be mindful of the people, whatever they come up with, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. We know there are scientists out there, people full of knowledge and curiosity, and they have all these ideas and stuff in their minds. I pray, Father God, that they do not play with people's lives just to satisfy their curiosity and do their experiments or whatever. We only want what is necessary and what is good for the people, not to abuse humankind and do all these experiments and play with people's lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. But above all, Father, our trust and our dependence is not on humans, but it is on you, Lord. We trust you, we depend on you to rescue us, to save us, to shelter us. Thank you, Father God. For your word said, he that dwells under the secret of the Almighty God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And this morning we'll say unto you, our God, you are our refuge, our fortress, our God in whom we trust. In the mighty name of Jesus, we honor you, Lord. We glorify your name. Continue, Father, to give us the appetite of the word that we seek you, Father, that we continue having the hunger and thirst of your word in the mighty name of Jesus. And we consider every battle fought and that every battle is won, because greater is you who is in us than he who is in the world. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We just thank God and that we will have a wonderful weekend, that this weekend is going to be a better weekend, a joyful weekend, better than the one we had last week. For we move from glory to glory. So we are going forward with Jesus. He does not take us backwards. So this weekend is going to be another good weekend in Jesus' name. Amen. I turn this to Pastor Darlene, and you all enjoy yourselves. It's going to be a little bit cooler where I am here, and I bet where you are, the weather is going to be just superb in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Darlene.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you, Pastor Scholastica, for that word this morning. And we want to know who we are in Jesus Christ. And as you said, we will prepare ourselves, read our word, we will pray, so that our relationship with Jesus Christ, we understand that that is the most important thing in our lives, and we will understand that our God is who we look to. So we look to the Lord each and every day, and we can go over these scriptures. You gave a lot of scriptures today, and we thank God for that, and we can use that in our study time. So each and every one of us, we just thank you for being here, all the sisters and brothers. We decree this morning that we have on the whole armor of God, and that we are blessed and cannot be cursed, and we will decree that we seek the face of God each and every day so that we'll know where we're going and how we're going to get there. And as we seek the face of God, I decree that we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we fear no evil. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Be here on next Monday. We'll be here at the same time, 6 o'clock. Tell somebody, to join us because God is doing a great work here. He's been doing miracle signs and wonders down through the years for the last 17, 18 years. And we just thank God for each and every one who has been here. Apostle Horsley has been here almost from the beginning, and others have been here for a long time. So we appreciate you. We appreciate you coming in, joining in, being in agreement with the Word of God. So we'll see you on the next day that we come together. I love each and every one of you. Amen, amen, amen. Go in the spirit of Elisha and Jehu. That's the spirit of zealousness for the things of God.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. We are so grateful for each and everyone who has joined us today. There may be someone out there who has not received Jesus as your Savior. We invite you to do the sinner's prayer with us today, and then you will be saved as you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. If you will repeat after me, Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again. I ask you, Father, to help me to grow in the things of God. Well, we thank God for each and every one who did the sinner's prayer. The angels are rejoicing, and we rejoice with you. And what I would suggest is that you find a good Bible teaching church to attend in your region. Find a church that will teach you about Jesus and his love so that you will be able to grow in the knowledge of the truth. Right now, if you desire to send a donation, an offering, or gift to support our ministry, you may send it to Prayer, Praise, and Deliverance Ministries. The address is 3171 Ardley Road, Southwest. The street is spelled A-R-D-L-E-Y. That's 3171 Ardley Road, Southwest, in the city of Atlanta, Georgia, zip code 30311. If you desire to listen to a session after we're off the air, you can log into blogtalk.com, Prayer, Praise, Deliverance. Once again, that's blogtalk.com. Prayer, Praise, Deliverance. Or you may dial the number 605-313-4929. The access code is 278961#. Select the pound sign for current session. And if you desire to listen to a previous session, please give me a call or send me a text. My number is 904-859-1022. Once again, the number is 904-859-1022. I decree that the plowman overtakes the reaper in your life and that you live in continuous abundance. And I decree that the favor of God continues to overtake you as you live for Jesus Christ. Amen.